When this project began, I didn't completely understand what we were all getting into. I imagined that our series would be angry, a kind of tirade against the system. We are certainly outraged by much of what happens in the child welfare system, and our radio series does reflect that. But what I learned is that you can't speak about child welfare without speaking about childhood abuse. And you can't speak about childhood abuse without talking about the challenges of disclosing trauma. This documentary is about speaking out and staying silent. You'll hear people of different ages. There are the voices of young children who have been victims of abuse. I spoke with teenagers, and I also spoke with the women producing this series, all of whom have experienced childhood trauma. You'll also hear another story, taken from Greco-Roman mythology. The story of Philomela is about a woman who is silenced after she is raped, but finds a way to tell her story nonetheless. Like the people I spoke with, Philomela tells her story to save herself. The documentary is called Philomela's Tapestry.
Once, when I have a bad day at school, I got my dad slap me, I got another bad day, he slapped me very hard. Then they saw marks on me, and I feel sad because my dad gave me hard marks on me.
One morning, a group of us sat down with 5 7-year-olds. When they found out that some of us had grown up in care, they were keen to tell their own stories. This is what one boy told us.
So the social worker heard my dad slap me, so she went to my school and took me to the doctor, and I felt scared. Because I'm scared of needles, because it feels like I'm in pain. So I'm sad because I have to go to a lot of foster home, and my brother gets to go in one foster home.
The other boys were avid listeners, and when he finished, they had questions for him. One boy said, "It's good, isn't it?"
Why did you say it's good?
I said it's good because then when you go to a foster home, then your dad won't slap you. Like if you get a bad day, your dad won't slap you, and then you won't get marked. So it's good to go to the group.
But I miss my dad. I miss my dad too.
You never knew that.
But when he slapped you, you shouldn't miss him because he slapped you.
I still love him if he slapped me.
Even though some mothers say if no matter what you do, they still love you. But some people have a hard time and just send their kids away.
So the instinct for these young children is to share their stories and to be entirely open about the story's complexity. The Latin poet Ovid tells the story of Philomela, a young woman who was raped by her brother-in-law. At first, she too feels the urge to tell everyone about her experience.
I'll cast aside my shame, proclaim your crime, if that be possible for me. I'll tell my tale where many people crowd, and if I'm shut up in these woods, I'll shout unto the trees. I'll move the rocks to pity.
So
Like Philomela, the children I spoke with wanted to tell their stories. But even at age 7, they had internalized adult messages. They knew there were risks in speaking out. But some of them felt it was important anyway.
But why wouldn't your daddy let you speak to your mommy on the phone? Was he mad at you? Was he disappointed in you? Was he touching you or touchy?
I'm not saying that.
But you know, you should talk about it so you'll feel more happy.
Yeah.
But when you are talking about it now,
my daddy,
it will stay in here.
But my daddy says I can't tell nobody. But I'm too afraid to say it.
Don't worry, he'll cheer you up.
Yeah, just keep talking about it.
For the teenagers we spoke with, there was no debate. The imperative was silence. They were scared to speak out, especially those who had been touched closely by the child welfare system.
I can't say anything, you know. I realize now, you know, like, and before, like, I can't say anything else. Like, if I say anybody, you know, like, you can't trust nobody with your life. So, I don't know. Like, I don't say everything, you know. It's better just to keep quiet and go with the flow, you know.
Me now, like, I know not to, like, tell people, like, what's happening at home and all that, because if I do, I'm going to get, like, taken out and, like... And so what I've learned from is that if I talk about it, like, something's going to happen, and, like, just, like, if... Like, now I can't really trust anybody most of the time about talking about my family. Like, they ask me about my family, and I'm like, oh, I'm not allowed talking about my family, because I don't talk about it. Because, like, I get into a lot of trouble. And then I don't like seeing my mom sad. Like, when I was getting put to a different home, my mom was crying. And I felt bad. And, like, I don't want to, like, disappoint my parents and all that.
In Ovid's poem, Philomela says she will tell all. She will shout to the trees if she must. But she is quickly silenced by her abuser, her brother-in-law, the king. Her words have angered him, but the fierce king feels to a fear whose force can match his wrath. Urged on by both these goads, he now unsheathes the sword he carries at his side. He grabs poor Philomela by the hair, he twists her arms behind her back and binds her fast. And Philomela offers him her throat. She's seen the sword, and death is her dear hope. But it's her tongue he seizes with a pincer, and even as it protests and struggles hard to speak, he lifts his blade and, without mercy, severs it. The adults I spoke with, survivors of sexual abuse and survivors of the child welfare system, felt that as children, their tongues had been severed.
When you were kids, who did you share your pain with?
No one.
Myself.
Compass. I cut myself with a compass over and over again because I didn't have anyone to share my pain with. I kept it in, and looking back, I was a mess. You know, I was really, like, I was depressed. I was, you know, I ran away. I did drugs. I did everything to get away from what I was feeling because I couldn't talk to anybody. Nobody was there.
There were so many barriers to speaking out. Cindy Veldwies and Jennifer Freed write about sexual abuse and describe how women are groomed for silence. Groomed for silence by their abusers, by their families, and by a society that can't face their traumas.
when you didn't speak, and it sounds like none of you did, what was preventing you?
Opportunity. The right person. Guilt. Shame. I don't know. I had convinced myself that it didn't really happen. That I was making up lies in my head. And people would think I was crazy.
To actually disclose that information to anyone, you don't know what to expect by the other person's reaction, or if they actually believe you, or if they're going to make fun of you for what you've been through or not.
The reaction of others definitely has an impact on how you, on what you do after. I think it's a big thing. In my youth, I sort of just pushed everything down and I didn't disclose to anyone because I felt that no one would believe me.
Veldwies and Fried suggest that there are values and assumptions in our culture that deny these women a voice. The belief that talking about violence is worse than the acts themselves, or the belief that children and women who allege abuse are themselves disordered, or the belief that family matters should be kept private. Because of these barriers, because when they did speak out, they were often dismissed or not heard, the women I interviewed had found that usually the act of disclosure felt like another kind of violation.
When you talk about the little details of your whatever traumatic experience you've been through, for me it felt like I was being raped all over again.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing saying I'm a victim of sexual abuse, which I have no problem saying, but then when you start giving all the little details, it's like you're actually playing it in your mind again,
mm-hmm.
and it really feels like you're being raped again.
Violated over and over, and you see it in your mind's eye, and you feel it, and you just, it's just as brutal as mm-hmm. it was when it was first happening.
And it's really hard to disclose things like that, because in your mind, you're remembering everything, and then you're thinking to yourself, why am I talking about this? It's making me feel the exact same way. Why am I putting myself through this again?
I think the only time that you're actually able to disclose and not be really... Well, no, I think every time for the rest of my life, disclosing things that happened to me in my past is going to be a painful experience, no matter what, no matter how many therapists you see.
For those women who grew up in the child welfare system, there were even more forces keeping them silent. They lived in fear. They never knew with whom their stories would be safe or for what purposes their stories would be used.
When you go through a life of not literally belonging to a parent or two parents, and you move from home to home to home, it's hard to be able to trust someone when you're being bounced around everywhere.
I think you make a good point, because even if you're not being bounced around, there's so much turnover in the system that by the time you get close to your key worker or your social worker, they're changing, you know? And that's if you even have enough time to get close to the people you're working with. You know, often therapists or psychologists, you only see them once, and they write up a report, and they... You know, people are, you know, the staff or your social worker are so interested in what the psychologist report said about you that that's all they can think about.
One thing about disclosure is that you feel like you can trust that person and you can talk with them. And then all of a sudden, everything that you say, they use against you. So it's really hard for you to be able to, like, trust someone and know that they're going to follow through with everything and that everything will be all right and that you'll be safe. Because when you disclose with other people, you end up being taken out of your home. You end up being violated, you know. Just having other people talk about your situation to other people make you feel very violated.
In Ovid's poem, Philomela's tongue is cut out by her abuser. She is trapped in a stone hut in the woods. In this state of exile, Philomela invents. ¶¶
The sun had passed through all the twice six signs, and now a full year's journey has gone by. And what shall Philomela do? No flight is possible. A guard had been assigned to watch her, and around the hut walls rise. They are of solid stone. Her lips are mute. There is no way she can reveal the truth. But desperation can indeed invent. In misery, the mind is keen. She hangs a web upon a crude loom, and on a white background weaves purple signs, the letters that denounce the savage crime. Philomela sends the tapestry to her sister, Procne. Procne, unrolling it, soon reads her sister's tale, the dread misdeed, and then a fact that cannot be believed. She does not speak. Her mouth is blocked by grief. The women I spoke with have also found ways to tell their stories, despite the barriers. Like a weaver, one woman speaks of filling in the gaps.
Talking about it opens up, basically you're cleaning out your closet and it just makes you feel like a more complete person. You can't change what happened to you, but it, for me anyways, it helped me accept what happened and move on. Not that I'm a better person, but I feel like I'm a more complete person. Like there's no more holes, there's no more gaps in my life where, you know, I didn't have to deal with such a thing in the past, and now I'm dealing with it, and it just makes me more complete as a person.
Is it worth it talking about it?
I think so.
I
think there's still a lot of healing left that I need to do, but I think I've started the healing process.
In Ovid's poem, Philomela's sister comes to her rescue. She comes to the solitary stall at last. She shrieks and howls, breaking down the doors. She grasps her sister, dresses her in full array, and hides her face with ivy leaves. Then, at her side, her sister is amazed, hauls her away off to the palace where she can be safe. Procne removes the poor girl's costume. She uncovers her shame-faced sister and embraces her. But Philomela will not lift her eyes. She sees herself as an adulteress. And staring at the ground, she tries to swear, to call upon the gods as witnesses, that she had been the prey of violence. But after all, she has no voice, just gestures. Philomela is free. But the poem acknowledges that she can never completely regain her original voice. Still, there is a sense that, as Hannah Ashrawi says, victimization has to be shared and transcended together. This is the aim of all the women I spoke to. Together, with a large enough loom perhaps, their stories will be heard.
I feel a lot better. I feel a lot more free. I feel like I've grown. I've let my inner child, like the one that was abused so many years ago, I let that child grow up, you know? And I feel completely different. I'm close to tears now, but I feel fantastic, you know? I feel like that's the best thing I ever did.
You
You have been listening to the documentary Philomela's Tapestry, Finding Ways to Speak About Childhood Trauma.
When your world comes tumbling down, all the pieces are spinning around. Somewhere inside you've got to find hope, 'cause through the pain you cannot be free. Through the guilt you cannot feel love. Through the shame you cannot see light, not even on the clearest night. And when old tears haunt new sleep, when old fears taunt new dreams, when old worries make blood run cold, you got to face it, you can't just let go. Trust me, I know too well. I feel like